We'll get a little bit away from our West Texas bent and also from the plaintiff's side. And now we'll have the current president of the Texas Association of Defense Counsel, Ms. Gayla Corley, is going to talk about the problem serving two masters and the inherent problems that insurance defense litigation face, I guess, on a daily basis.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, thanks.
Yes. Thank you, Price. First of all, let me thank everyone for the opportunity to be here today. Any of you who may have looked at the program and know Christy Immuni will know that I am not her, and I will apologize in advance for being far less entertaining. I know. It's that is a bill I can't live up to. But anyway, we will try to have some discussion about the idea of serving two masters, which, as Price said, we do on the defense side of the docket on a daily basis. So first of all, what is the relationship? The relationship arises because, as anybody doing plaintiff side work knows, that we are more often than not hired to defend an insured by the insurance carrier. And so that's what gives rise to this relationship in the first place. In fact, insurance defense is the only area in law where the parties are routinely representing clients who have been selected through another vehicle. Self-insured business works a little different, but it gives rise to the very real possibility that the interests of the person controlling the purse strings and the person who's been sued, their interests can diverge sharply, and that's where the conflicts often arise for defense counsel. So this makes for an uneasy alliance because you have, on the one hand, the insured, the client, wants the best defense possible, right? I mean, who can blame them for that? Whereas on the other hand, the insurer or the carrier is always looking at the bottom line, and they want the defense to be provided at the lowest possible cost. And so that's where those forces collide, and defense counsel often finds himself or herself caught in the middle. And so there's a lot of wisdom, as you see here on the slide, in the old proverb that he who pays the piper calls the tune. And so that is the dilemma that we're often confronted with when we're trying to zealously defend our clients. So the lawyer wants to provide a competent and thorough defense, but they know who's on the other side not only pays the bills, but may very well, in all likelihood, control future business. And you have to be mindful of that struggle the whole time through any representation that comes to pass by way of an insurance carrier. So this is the so-called tripartite relationship. And as we'll go through here in some of the slides, it has been well documented as a never-ending source of ethical, legal, and economic tensions. So basically, there are four areas of conflict. I mentioned a price jokingly before we begin. It's kind of like the four horsemen, right? The first area, control of defense. Who's in charge? Who gets to call the shots on what will or won't be done in terms of representing a given insured? Second is who controls the information? The third area of conflict is costs, and that's a big one. And then the last one is control of settlement. And we heard an excellent presentation just a little bit earlier on Stowers and Soriano and the unique circumstances that those doctrines give rise to. So as we go into these four areas, first start with what's a basic question of who's the client. In most states, it's recognized as a dual representation. So defense counsel, in essence, is serving two masters, one being the insurance carrier and the other being the insured. And the attorney that is in that situation owes the full spectrum of all attorney-client duties to both carrier and insured. Some states, the insured's the primary client, which kind of then gives rise to the implication that defense counsel has a lesser obligation to the insurer, but there is an obligation there nonetheless. So Texas, as we are often, is an outlier, and we are in the minority on this. There's only one client under Texas law, and that's the insured. And that's where these conflicts that I mentioned often come up. So the duty was first established in the Tilley case, which is a Supreme Court opinion I'm sure we all remember from law school back in the early 1970s. So in Tilley, you had an attorney who was represented by an insurance company to defend its insured under policy of liability insurance, right? During the course of the litigation, a conflict arose because the interests of the insurer diverged from those of the client, the insured. And so the insurer's interest was to deny coverage while the insured needed a vigorous defense to hopefully resolve the claims in its favor.